One of my favorite things is that when I switch my day off in the week, I get to come to prayer Monday mornings. And I hang out and I do life with the people who do prayer. Whoever shows up that morning, there's always like they talk beforehand, they talk afterhand. We do life together. People who come in the office during the week with a coffee and we chat, or you get invited over to someone's house for dinner and you do life with them. I know what's going on in their life, not just because I had a text message, but because I encountered them and we interacted. And in that, when you do life with people, inevitably when you're saturated in Jesus and his teachings, you're challenged and you're strengthened and you're refined and you're not left to your own devices and interpretation of what something means as it suits your circumstances. You do life together. And as they walk out all of this, what you see interspersed in the end of this chapter are the results of the way that they live life together. And it's pretty cool. Next slide. Everyone is filled with awe. I like the sounds of that. Everyone was kept and being filled with reverence. You know that moment that we just had? That's reverence. That's awe. How many of you can't describe it, but there's something beautiful about that feeling that you just had there? They kept it. They didn't set it aside. They didn't set it aside because they were constantly living in these things that brought everything back into focus. I want to be kept in awe. Always. I want to be amazed, but not in a way of like, wow, I didn't even know God could do that. I want to be amazed in the kind of way that says, I knew he could do it, I knew he promised it, and man, I was there when it happened. It was amazing. That's what we're talking about. What kind of church does a church look like who has that? They had wonders and miraculous signs that were done by the apostles. Things that authenticated the men sent by God. How many of you have someone or some people in your life that you've been trying to share Christ to, but they just really think it's a hokey pokey, you might as well pick up a Disney storybook? How different would that circumstance be when you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and God in his sovereignty chooses to perform a miracle that nobody else can explain outside of the hand of God, who is hokey pokey in a Disney fairy tale? The last time I read a Disney fairy tale, a beast never turned to a man in front of me, right? I've never seen Beauty and the Beast come to life inside of me. But all through the New Testament, as the apostles are walking out, signs and wonders are following them, and people can't deny God's existence anymore because the things that are impossible are being made to happen right in front of their eyes, and they have no choice but to believe. It's a game changer. And we have access to that same power today, to that same God. His heart for our community hasn't changed from what his heart was for these people. And I think we lose that. He loves the lost people around us just as much as he loved these people in the book of Acts who come to know him. The Ethiopian eunuch, Simon the sorcerer, all of these people who don't know him, who either come to know him or have some sort of experience or are working things out, his love for the people that your heart is burdened for is just as drastic as it is for the people in the book of Acts. So why wouldn't he do signs and wonders? They sold their possessions and goods. They gave to those in need. They praised God. They enjoyed the favor of all people. And the Lord added daily to their number the people who were being saved. Praise to God should always be incorporated, not only in our worship services, but in our life. When you look at what he has done in your life, how can you not? How can you not thank him? I don't even have words. But it's so easy to become jaded and distant. We have way too much to be thankful for. And when you consider the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you didn't think your life had any other cause to be thankful, that one alone is just like enough, right? They didn't hold on to their possessions or their wealth. They became selfless and saw to the welfare of others instead of themselves. What a beautiful church. it gets to the point when you read a little further on into Acts where they're collecting, they've got these collections of goods that they've sold their possessions, they have finances, and they need to take care of people. And it's getting so difficult to manage that they have to appoint other people to manage it. Oh, for the day where I get to appoint someone else to manage the benevolent fund because it's too much for me to handle. Do you know what I'm saying? The benevolent fund is the budget line that we have as a church that is money that when someone is in need, we bless them. Their house burns down, we bless them. They lose their job, we bless them. They're sick, we bless them. They're hospitalized, we bless them. You imagine that? Think about it. That the storehouses are so full that you need people just to manage them. See, we live in a day and age, we get to this part of the service, and we get a little conflicted, don't we? Is it the 10% that the Old Testament asks for? Can you give less? Because we're under grace in the New Testament. Are you obligated to give more? Because Paul says we're called to be generous. The New Testament believers didn't see any of it as their own. They weren't worried about a number in their bank account anymore. They weren't worried about how many properties they had. If you do the math, the Old Testament tithes actually go to over 23% when you add them all together, and that doesn't include free will offerings, where God just moves people's heart and they give. Because what the New Testament church understood was, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, what was the Holy Spirit? It was the sign of the promise. And what's the next piece of the promise that we're waiting for? Jesus to come back and gather us as his own. And if I'm not living eternity on this earth with these finances and these resources, then what do I have invested in them? That's the mentality of the early church. It's not mine. It's his. He's got this. I don't need it forever. Someone else does need it. I can help. I can help by giving to share the gospel and to take out any inhibitions that may happen to stop the gospel from going forward. It's part of life in the Spirit. Isn't that crazy to think about? And yet, in our culture, we're worried about retirement. And we're worried about next year, I would like to put in a deck, paint my garage door. And yet, someone can tell me about their need, and I don't even blink twice. If we want to live in the transformational power of the Holy Spirit, and we want him to rain down on us, we have to have the heart of the early church in the book of Acts. Our biggest compulsion has to be that others know about the same saving power of Jesus Christ and the transformational power of his Holy Spirit that we have access to because of his death and resurrection. Super simple. And yet we've complicated it in so many ways in our church contexts and cultures, whether it's just Western culture or whatever you want to attribute it to. But the thing is, we get to choose. Just like we get to choose where we let our hearts go or what we want the Holy Spirit to do in our life, what we're willing to allow him room to do. Because you know what? You can say, Sharon could say, you know what, Holy Spirit? I want you to use me to speak to other people. I want you to move in my life because my understanding is, God, that this is the area you want to use me in. And so Sharon says that. She goes, and you know, you can have that whole area, but I'm not giving you my tithe because, you know, I'm a little tight. I got things to do. He's not rude. He's not going to strong arm you. But there's something about allowing him free rein in your life that changes the game and the power that you walk in everywhere else. And in the same way, Donna could say, you know what, God, all of my money is yours. Do with it what you want. But don't ask me to speak to anyone. Don't ask me to open my mouth. How much more power do we live in when we allow him to have access to every area, to every beat of our heart? That's why we see what we see from the New Testament church. I have this theory. How do I word this? So if we look back at the church here, the running comment for a long time has been, that's just life at crossroads, right? How many of you have heard that? Something goes wrong with the sounds, and we're like, that's just life at crossroads. This week, we had the elections in the building, and I was working a polling station on the other side of town, and my phone started going, and it turned out, I'm going to tell you before I finish this story that we dealt with it, so please don't panic. We found out that the 30-liter pressurized water tank in the water room had sprung a leak and had been leaking for several days through the wall and the floor into the carpet of the new room we just spent 6 months renovating. It's just life at crossroads. That's what would have been said before, right? So we had to call the plumbers. Well, the plumbers were all busy and no plumbers could come. It's just the way things go at crossroads. We get a plumber in, they fix the tank, the bottom was all rusted out, everything's coming together. The elections people come into the office and ask if we could turn on the air conditioning because they're sweltering. Like, it's 73 degrees in here and they are dying of heat. And so they leave the office, and I'm so thankful for Brad and Leanne on Thursday, who were both in the building doing stuff. And as they leave the office, Leanne has this moment where she thinks, wait a second. We never shut the air conditioning off after Sunday. So she came in, and sure enough, the air conditioning wasn't working. So she flipped the switch on the blowers, and why don't you close the windows on the side of the building where the sun's shining, and that should help. And we get back on the phone, and now I'm on an emergency 911 call with the heating and cooling guy. Just life at crossroads, right? Here's the thing. The heating and cooling guy comes. He can't fix the air conditioner. The air conditioner's completely shot, hence the open windows, the extra sound, and the shutters the way that they are this morning. The water tank is finished and fixed, and this is life. But it's not life at crossroads. We're at Newcastle Pentecostal Church, and I call into existence the things that I don't see as though they are, and the money to fix these problems is not going to be a problem. Because this isn't life at crossroads anymore. It's life in the Spirit, where we are empowered to walk things out and we are selflessly giving for the name of His gospel. Because do you know how many people came in this building on Thursday? And they might not have been here for a service, but all of a sudden they looked and saw a building that maybe could meet a need in their life. They encountered a person, whether here or at another polling station, because there were several of us scattered around, who shines the light of Christ and will draw them to a relationship with Him. And if we are living as a New Testament generous church empowered by the Holy Spirit, these things are no longer life at crossroads. They are an opportunity for God to continue to prove Himself faithful. That's the God I serve. Kids in the nursery agree. Guys, it's something to be excited about. Because you know what? The tides have changed. In Acts chapter 2, the tides changed. And if we choose to walk in what we have talked about walking in, there is no choice but that they change within us as His people and as His house also. It's basic math. And I'm not only believing that the finances will be there when I don't see them. I'm not telling you about this so you put them there. If God moves your heart, great. But I'm telling you because I see a God who has changed the cards even in the midst of this. Because you want to know what would have happened at crossroads? All of that 6 months worth of work would have been moldy and rotted, and the brand new carpet would have been destroyed, and we would have had, like, that just was kind of the way things were going, right? If we're being honest, that was the worst case scenario. I said to Leanne, in my human first response, I said, look up the deductible for water damage on our insurance, please. $25,000. And in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit challenge me. Do you think you need $25,000 to make a claim on this, or do you think that I am God enough to handle something as a little bit of water? I had a choice. I don't know if it's related to my choice. Let's be honest, I don't know. But I can tell you that the carpet is not damaged in the back room. It's not moldy, it's dry. The walls are fine. The plumber, who in the old days probably wouldn't have made it for a week because that was the way things were going, was here within an hour. The water tank is replaced. Thank the Lord, it's a nice cool day and we could open windows for you this morning. God is good. He is good, and he will be good in your life too. But we don't get to walk in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit if we are not willing to walk in the day in, day out, rest of the time kind of power way. And we've been talking about, for 10 months, lines in the sands and decisions. I consciously made a choice this week. And I'm asking you if you want to make that choice for your life. Do you want to believe in the God who does the impossible even if you can't see it? Or do you want to keep leaning on your own wisdom and understanding? You get to make the choice. Both of them are going to have potholes and bumps. Because here's the thing. If life at Newcastle Pentecostal Church went smoothly all the time, where would we exercise our faith? Where would we do it? We wouldn't have opportunity to. Not the same way. Where if somehow, I don't even know how, the bank account has like $1 million in it. Yeah! Yes. Speak those things that be not. The bank account has $1 million in it. We don't learn the blessing that it is to give because we don't feel compelled in the same way to have to. It's better to give than receive, the Bible says. You need to be a generous people. I know that our church is going to grow. I know. But you know what I like about right now? I know you all. I have fellowship with you. I have intimate relationship with most of the people in this room, and I love that about our church. And I love that we get to cultivate that before we're big so that we understand the significance when someone new walks in of having fellowship and relationship with them because we know what it meant to us. I love it. The blessing is not just in the destination. It's in the journey. And we are blessed. You bless me. You do. You bless me. Every one of you. And the intimacy that we can have with each other. Think about the person in this room that you're closest with. Think about the person in your life that maybe isn't in this room that you are the closest with. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a parent or a friend. That is nothing compared to the intimacy and the fellowship that you can have with the Spirit of God. Nothing. It's just like a taste. If you choose to engage in relationship with Holy Spirit, it's a choice. It'll change you. It will change you. Holy Spirit changed those people when tongues of fire fell on them. Changed them. Their relationship with God changed. They repented of things that they never even knew were wrong. They repented of things that they did know were wrong, but they just actually didn't care about. They repented of crucifying the Messiah. That's a big one to swallow, isn't it? Life transformation happens at the foot of the cross and in the baptism of the Spirit. Just happens. This morning, I am going to ask if the worship team would come back up, if the ushers would come forward, if we could sing Let It Rain one more time while we take up the offering. And I'm going to invite you to participate in the privilege of being generous, because it is. My kids challenge me in that all the time. It's funny. They'll get like money for Christmas or their birthday, and they'll be like, I'm going to buy Jeremiah something at Toys R Us. Sweetheart, you have $10. Yeah, but I'm going to do it. Okay, but you know that, yeah, I don't care. The innocence in generosity, the innocence in faith, it's a privilege to give. I'm going to invite you to participate in the privilege of communicating with the Holy Spirit this morning, of talking to Father God, of worshiping, of praising. When we're done, I'm going to share with you some announcements, just a few, and then You get to be blessed with having fellowship with each other while we have coffee and tea. And you get to talk to people that maybe you don't know or you haven't seen in a while. It's going to be great. Great. Because if we choose, He will be in every piece of every moment of those steps of this morning. If you give Him room. If you are visiting with us this morning, there are yellow cards in the seat in front of you, and we would love to just be able to get a hold of you and say hey and get to know your name in case you don't get the chance this morning. So I'd love it if you could grab a pen and fill one out, and you can either throw it in the offering plate or pass it to myself or one of the ladies after service. God, we are abundantly blessed to be able to find ourselves in your presence this morning. God, there's nowhere else that we'd rather be. Because you are everything. You are the breath in our lungs. You are the beat of our heart. You are our sustainer. You are the source of all of our finances. You're the source of every morsel of food that we eat. You're the source of everything in our life that just pours life back into us. So God, this morning I pray that as people give, they would not give out of a begrudging spirit, God, but that they would give out of a heart that's right before you. God, that they would have a new revelation in the days and weeks to come of how you long for us to be generous as your people. God, would you give us a new word as your church? Would you give us a new word to hold on to, God, as you do the new thing amongst us? Would you open our eyes to see the visions and dreams that you have there that are just waiting for us to receive? Would you open our ears to hear the words that you have set aside just for us, Newcastle Pentecostal Church, just for us, your children? God, would you soften our hearts to receive that things are hard and refine off the pieces that you desire to make us more into your likeness and image? God, would you give us love? Love for you, love for others. And God, would every action that we take on in every moment of our day reflect you to the people around us? Would you show yourself to us in the smallest, tiniest, most mundane tasks that we've done over and over and over again? Would you let it rain, God? Let it rain. God, as we stand up this morning and we worship and we give you our tithes and we give you our offerings and we cry out to you, open your floodgates, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We also have a partnership sign-up list. So if you have been coming and you have been at the church for over 6 months and you would like to take partnership so that you can be a part of the decision-making processes of the church as they pertain, you're going to put your information on there. And it just asks if you would prefer to be a part of a partnership class in the summer or the fall, because I'd like to run it when it works for people. So I figured you might as well tell me when it works for you, and we'll try and do the best one for everybody. We are having a volunteer appreciation dinner fellowship on Saturday. And so if you were given an invitation to that dinner, my solemn request to you is please RSVP before Wednesday of this week, because we are literally making a full meal and we need to know how many people are going to be there to ensure that we have enough food for everybody. So please make sure that you let me know your RSVP, whether it's by phone or email or in person. And finally, due to said volunteer appreciation dinner, if you would be willing to hang out after we have coffee and tea this morning and help like empty out the back of the chairs in front of you and move them around so that we could get set up, I would really, really appreciate that, because we did it twice this week already and I'd rather not do it this time alone if I don't have to. So if you can't, that's totally fine. And oh, that made me remember there's one more. Board members, if I can talk to you for a handful of minutes after coffee time before you head home in my office, that would be awesome. So with that being said, thank you very, very, very much for coming. I pray that you have a blessed and highly favored week and that you enjoy your time of fellowship together this morning. Thanks, guys.